called to worship. But it's Romans 1:16 today. It is, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you so much for this time together. Thank you so much that we can come here, worship you in unity and in truth, Lord. I pray that this service be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's message. If you feel that your kids should not be in here for it, we're going to be talking about sexual sins today. So if you have young ones that you don't want in here, we will have a movie downstairs and they can be dismissed after the greeting time. As most of you guys already know about me, I love to go hunting. I do. I hunt for the excitement to see that big deer out there and take his life just so we can eat him. That's why I hunt, to eat, to feed the family. That's why I do it. I don't hunt birds because I don't like cleaning birds. So I've got a little problem there with myself. It is great sometimes to see God's wildlife out there. And then sometimes if I get the opportunity, if I get a nice deer, I'll go ahead and make a mount out of it and keep it for a while. I like that. It's fun to do. Disgusting, but it's fun. Just part of the cleaning out I just don't like, especially if you let it sit for too long. Did that one time. Not fun. Anyway, another hunting story I'm going to tell you is me and a buddy were hunting on private property. We got permission to be out there. And all of a sudden in front of me, I seen this little critter. This little critter happens to be a badger. And I was probably a good 30, 40 yards from him. He didn't like me there. He didn't want me there. And my buddy, he was kind of off to the left a little bit. Hey, Jeremy, come here. So he comes over there. I said, "What is that?" He said, "Oh, that's a badger." I said, "He looks kind of mean." "Yeah, they're mean." He was pretty angry. I said, "Can we shoot it?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Good." I said, "Do you want to shoot him?" "Yeah, I'll shoot him." He knew the people we were at, and if he was going to get in trouble, it'd be him, not me. So he had to, I think he had an .06. So he put him in a scope, and he killed him. One thing I didn't do was go near that hole because the badger disappeared. I didn't know if he was wounded. I stayed away. I let him die. Had another buddy. We were out in the Jordan area, Jordan, Montana area. And we were out there. It was out hunting. We didn't see a thing all day. But we come across a little varmint, a little rodent with long ears. And all we had were high-powered rifles, and we were bored. He says, "You know what? I'm going to take that." He had a 7mm. Shot it. A little rodent about this big. Nothing was left. Not a thing was left of that. I tell you this, these last two. So those last two that were killed, we just let them die. We left them there, and I hope that badger was dead right away. And, of course, the other rodent just disintegrated almost. But you leave that there, and in a little while, it's going to start to stink in that place. So the title of today's message is Kill the Old Self. I was going to say kill the old man, but that might sound a little inappropriate. But if my dad heard, he said, "What are you talking about?" Now, kill the old self. Stuff we're supposed to put to death. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 5 through 11. It says 7 up there because when I put it through, we're not going to get through 11. I'll tell you more about that here in a second. Okay, Colossians 3, please open your Bibles. Colossians 3, verses 5 through 11, it says, "Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. As I was looking at this Monday, you know what? I can just put this together. We can make a short sermon out of this, kind of cover it briefly. Tuesday came around. Realized God has this stuff in here for a reason. He says, I had Paul write this for a reason. Not for you just to skim over and just to look at and glance at. I said, yes, God. We'll do this. The command in this is to put to death what is earthly in them. Put it to death. Again, this goes back, that's like going through a book series, this goes back to Paul telling them that they are a new creation. In the past, they died to their sins and was risen. And they are to be growing in old Christ. They have died to their old ways. And last week we talked about starting to live for Christ. Well, this is part of that application. Live for Christ. By putting things to death. Now in this, there's a couple lists in these in this passage. The lists that Paul is talking about are things that they died to, and the things, and these things need to be put to death. When a person puts something to death, it should be a graphic image, and the word dead in the Greek is nekruate. Literally means to kill it. So it needs to die. This needs to die. If you go back to a carcass, it has a foul stench, and you want to leave it alone and not go back to it. See, it should die, and it should never be dug back up again. See, these are the things that they were doing that they thought was right. Everybody's doing it. First part of the passage, Paul gives them a list of five. These items people are to kill from their lives. One thing this whole list has in common with each other, they are sins which relate to personal action. And as I was going through this list, it's backwards. It's going to start with the end result first and go to the beginning. So we're going to start and work our way down. So the first one, sexual immorality, is what it says. The Greek word for this might sound familiar, porneion. Porneion is the Greek for this, which means fornication. However, when Paul was talking about this, he was not talking about one specific sexual sin. He was talking about all sexual sins. This is also where we get our English word pornography from this word right here. So when Paul talks about sexual immorality, he's talking about any sexual sin which violates the marriage bed. Now, if you really want to get down to it, there's an extensive list in Leviticus, chapters 19 and 20, you can look at. Talks about fornication, talks about adultery, talks about homosexuality, talks about incest, talks about other perverse things, including animals as well. There's a list in there. It also includes visual stimulation or detailed writings that cause one to fantasize about someone other than their spouse. This is a very, very dangerous sin. That is why Paul puts it at the top of his list. See, sins have consequences that could affect one's entire life. Not only that, they could end your life. End your life. See, God designed sex between, now if you're confused, between a man and a woman. I just said two genders. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Two genders between a man and a woman. Within the bonds of marriage. That was the design for it. But it gets taken out of context and we pervert it. So this sin is to be put to death. Put it to death. The next sin they are to kill is impurity. Word translates from the Greek meaning uncleanliness. Now this word normally follows within a list of sexual sins. This word also refers to in general as well. In general impurity. You see, in this context, it refers to one defiling themselves by committing sexual sins. When we look at the culture of that time when Paul wrote this, we see what God calls a sin, man saw right in his own eyes. Man says, well, it's my desire. I'm going to do it. God says no. Our desire says yes. Makes me think a little bit. It was happening back then. Other things back then going on as well. See, even certain religious leaders of this time, would seek out women converts for sexual relations. This act would make them impure. Even Paul had to defend himself once for his motive for sharing Christ. Think of Thessalonians, one of the hardest words to say for me. Thessalonians 2, 3 through 4 state, for our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive. But just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God who tests our hearts. It's like, I did not come here to deceive you. God made me an approved workman for you. Not to deceive you. So that's how bad it was getting. He just said, I'm not here for sexual relationships. I'm not here to defile women. I'm here to preach Christ. Amazes me how far we can turn from God and get a perverse mindset. Following this, Paul mentions passion, or some translations say lust. And I'm going to throw evil desires in there too. We're going to look at both of these together. Two words are very similar in this context. Greek word for passion is pathos, which gives reference to sexual passion outside of marriage. Evil desire also refers to sexual lust that comes from the mind. A definition of passion can be uncontrolled and habitual lust. I like the way Melick puts this together. He states, when lust goes unchecked, a passion for what is forbidden arises. Habits are formed which feed each other. Lust encourages passion, and passion produces more perverse lust. It gets out of hand. You can see how it affects you, and it affects you, and it affects you. It's adding one on top of the other. Now, Paul explains these two words in Romans 1:24 through 26, and it states, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their heart to impurity, to dishonoring their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relationships for those contrary to nature. These guys were feeding in on their own desires. These people feeding in on their sexual desires. God says, okay, fine. You want to do that? Go. I'm going to let you do that. You want to be a part of this? Go. He'll speak to us. We keep ignoring him. We're not robots. He's going to say, okay, there. There's a desire of your heart. Go for it. You're not going to like the outcome. Paul explains the process and shows us how it gets out of hand when we stray from God's plan and his command. Now, I know if you have a sermon notes in here, this is backwards, and I do apologize for it. It starts with evil desires, and not dealt with, it leads to lust. And one has a mind to put thought into action. So think about it this way. So you're thinking about this kind of behavior. And then you have a desire or a passion for it. It's like when you're walking through a store. And I can only relate to the guys because I'm a guy. And you see a beautiful young lady walk by you. It's taking that first look and then going on. But the problem that most guys have is they break their neck when they look sometimes. See, what happens is they try to, I like that. They try to think about more of it. So that's the evil desire. And then you get that second look in. That's where the thought process goes even further down. You see how this escalates to bigger things. The last item on the list is covetousness, sometimes translated greed. Now, this word itself, I was looking at this, how does this word fit? Seems kind of out of place at first glance. But it is the evil root that sin emerges from. This is placed last because this is where it starts from. Covetousness. Part of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. The neighbor's donkey, wife, on and on and on and on. I don't have that written down. Do not covet. What happens when we covet? We get evil desires. We want it. And in what Paul is talking about in this sexual sin part, it's that second look. It's the breaking your neck. It's goes on from there. See, when one is not content with what the Lord has provided them with, what are they doing? They're turning from God, and it leads to ungodly behavior. We need to be content with what we have. We can see that when we are unhappy, what do? We look for happiness where? Outside of God's plan. This can lead to sexual sins. Outside of God's plan. The list that Paul gave, again, it starts from the end result to the beginning process. See, he's saying that people need to be aware of each step. Aware. Because they build on one another. They keep building and building until they get out of hand. Until you fall flat on your face. Each and every one of these things listed in this context is against God. Because of these, the wrath of God will come. Not one of these in the context pleases God. Those who make a practice of these things are called sons of disobedience. My Bible has that in the bottom. It's not in the text. But they're sons of disobedience in some translations. These go against God's word. These are things they used to participate in and thought nothing of this type of behavior. Those that continue in this practice are living by worldly standards. So, if they continue to participate in this kind of behavior, I start to question. I says, where is Christ in your life? If they claim to be a Christian, yet they continue in these sexual sins, now I'm not one to judge them. That's between them and God. But I kind of wonder, where is your relationship with Christ? Have you ignored the Holy Spirit so much that you become callous to Him? Say, this is wrong? Because Christians fall in this trap too. They fall into it, into the non-believing trap. When they're doing this kind of behavior, their faith is not evident. Because they're behaving how a non-Christian behaves. And I ask them, check their relationship with Christ. How is that going? Do you have Christ and then walked away? Or did you have Christ? Was it just an emotional response one time to where you thought it was sincere, but no, you were just on an emotional high? See, I don't know how God works in that. That's between that person and God. But if they're not living for Christ, who are they living for? This is how the people used to live. This kind of behavior was normal. This type of sexual behavior was accepted at this time because they attended to their desires the best they knew how. Well, I've got this sudden urge. I've got this itch that needs to be scratched. See, Paul was combating the things they thought were right and now telling them, hey, guys, it's wrong. It's wrong. He told them to put this behavior to death. Put it to death, meaning to kill it and leave it. Let it stinketh. Don't go back to it, for those King James fans. He told they should not even entertain these thoughts, because what happens? When we entertain thoughts, we sometimes act them out. This was their former life. This is how they lived. This is the things they thought were right. They thought it was acceptable. However, by God's standards, it's not. Sexual sins were glorified back then. They're not glorified today, are they? They're glorified today. They're elevated today. You can't watch a show without having a homosexual on there, and it's okay to be that lifestyle. You can't watch TV without a couple living together before marriage. Am I telling you what to watch? Absolutely not. It's between you and God. They're glorifying all these sexual sins. So I got to thinking, what is the biggest issue we face today? What's the most easily accessed today? Pornography. It takes hold of all kinds of people, and it can destroy them. I found a definition on the internet for pornography. It's called printed or visual material containing explicit descriptions or display of sexual organs or activity intended to stimulate erotic rather than emotional feelings. The short version that I came up with, anything that arouses you sexually. This is everywhere. We cannot get away from this in this culture. It's accessed easily on our computers, on our cell phones, even on our dumb phones. Through pictures, through Snapchats, through whatever else, whatever Instagram, I'm not sure what else is out there. You can get it. You don't have to go to the store anymore and have somebody 18 or you go in there and buy a magazine anymore. A lot of times you don't even have to pay for it. It gives people an unrealistic idea of a relationship. Unrealistic. I like this. AIG answers this question. The question is, why is pornography so enticing? And it says, quote, in the same way that Adam was tempted to eat the forbidden fruit in Genesis 3, so men and women today are tempted to sin by looking at pornography. The enticement may look attractive at the beginning, but James 1:14 through 17 states, each one is tempted when he is drawn by his own desires and enticed. Then when the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadowing of turning. They're drawn away by their own desires. It looks good. Continue reading. As with Adam and Eve's temptation, Satan disguises his distortion of God's plan for human sexuality. For one thing, pornography can be hard to define. Some of it is perfectly acceptable within today's society, although that does not make it right according to biblical standards. For example, think about what's on TV last night. Were there any images that introduced an outside person's into erotic thoughts where only your spouse should be? What about the billboard along the highway? Were there any images in the catalog you received that caused you to think about another person, not your spouse, lustfully? Once a person becomes acclimatized to this type of acceptable pornography, it's an easy step to the next level. Thanks to the internet, hardcore pornography is readily available within the privacy of home at little cost, effort, or chance of detection. Read that again. Privacy of a home at little cost, effort, or chance of detection. They are ashamed of looking at it or reading about it. They do it in secret. Pornography is a sin designed to draw people away from God, and trapping them in the slavery of their own desires. Over time, pornography will become addictive and intensify, drawing its victims deeper and darker into the depths of depravity. If you have notes on there, there is a website as well for help. It's a trap. It starts with thoughts, covet, small things to bigger things to more and more. It intensifies. Some more statistics I need to read to you. This affects all kinds of people, Don't matter who you are. It affects everybody. According to research, approximately 64% of the U.S. men admit to viewing porn at least monthly, with the number of Christian men nearly equaling the national average. 64% of men, so 64% of Christians monthly. Men. When it's divided by age, 8 out of 10 men between the ages of 18 and 30 view pornography at least monthly. And two-thirds of men have been between the ages of 31 and 49 view porn at least monthly. And one-half of men between 50 and 68 look at pornography monthly. Monthly. The studies claim that 3 out of every 10 men between the ages of 18 and 30 are daily viewers of porn. Daily. 3 out of 10. 3% of women in the same age group reportedly access porn daily. It's not just affecting guys. It's affecting women as well. Even then, I think those numbers aren't very accurate as well. It's higher. It's higher on both ends. I remember my first time ever working at a junior high summer camp. Junior high. A couple boys approached me. We were talking about sins. These kids just came out of the sixth grade. And they said, we have an addiction to pornography. Coming out of the sixth grade. That blew my mind. I had no idea. I thought it was for older people. No, but I said, how long have you been looking at this? Oh, for over a year now. And we talked about how bad it is, how it affects your brain, how it affects your idea of women. It's unrealistic relationships. And women struggle with this on different levels. During our meeting, even some of the women counselors, we talked about how they had girls in there that were addicted to it. That young. It affects your brain. It affects your life. It affects your family. Well, it's not hurting anybody. I'm doing it in secret. Nobody knows about it. It affects your relationships. It's going to become evident. More importantly, it affects your relationship with God. It hinders that relationship with God. This is not easy to overcome. If you're addicted to any kind of sexual sin, it's not easy to overcome because it's a rush. It's like doing drugs. It has this effect on your brain to where you want more and different variations of it. Not easy to overcome. As Christians, we can overcome this. However, it's not easily overcome on our own. What do we need first? We need to be in prayer with God. God, help me through this. I need your help. I need you to intervene in my life. Whether that means getting caught, that would help, or just having the mindset not to do it. Be in His Word. What does God say about this topic? What does God say? Also, remember another time I was counseling a young man with his parents were there too. He was caught looking at this stuff. And I was on a great website. Who uses Bible Gateway? Great for reference check. If you use Bible Gateway, you type a keyword, you could find out a lot of information in the scriptures. And so I was looking at this. Well, how does this affect you? What does God say about this? And on the side, there's always advertisements, right? Always advertisements. And this came up on there. A dating site for Christians. Am I opposed to Christians dating? Absolutely not if they're looking for a spouse. But that's not what they were focusing on. They had a young lady on there with provocative clothing. I said, look at this. We cannot escape it. We're on Bible Gateway, and look at this advertisement. It's not easy to overcome. Be in prayer. Be in God's Word. Second of all, get help from a trusted Christian. One that you can trust. One who is rooted in their faith. One who can help you. One who you can call and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me with this? Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me? Accountability partners. You don't see that much anymore. Building that relationship with somebody. And helping each other grow in Christ. To start living for Christ. To die, to kill the sin nature. In this case, the sexual sin nature. See, there is hope with Christ. I don't know how non-believers do it. I have no idea. But with Christ, there is hope. We need to kill the old nature. Not go back to it. Let it die. Let it stink. Let it decompose. And we need to focus on Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you. So thank you. So thank you so much for your word on how we should live, on what a pleasing life looks to you. You gave us instructions. These are things that we need to put to death. Lord, it starts with our mind. Help us to control our thoughts. Help us to, when we see that first thought come in, help us to filter that with your word and kick it out if it is against your word and your way and your plan. We are to be living for you, not our selfish desires, not what we think is right. Lord, what we think is right is wrong a lot of times. What's right is what comes from you, your word, your direction, your guidance. Lord, I thank you for preserving your word. And we know how to live. And Lord, I thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, who came and died for our sins, who took the penalty for us so we could be made, so we could be renewed in him, who covers us, who speaks to us. Lord, help us to be sensitive to your word, to your calling, to what you want us to do. Thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 4:22-24, it says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in the likeness of God, in truth, righteousness, and holiness. You're dismissed.